Good to see each of you, and just thrilled to be back in this setting. Praying much, looking forward to this year of encampment, and just know that God is going to do something incredible. Great to see all these kids here tonight. I love coming back to camp meeting. And I kind of look to this side of the room. I know you love coming back to camp meeting, and we celebrate what God has done for us. But I get excited when I'm here because I know that decisions will be made this week. And God will do some incredible business over here in the life of kids. And it's so exciting. You know, and my friend Doug Carter knows, I was born and raised in camp meeting. I was saved in camp meeting, sanctified in camp meeting, called to preach in camp meeting. I even met my wife Tammy in a camp meeting. So you kids, you never know what you're going to find when you come to camp meeting. This could be a life-changing week for you. But we're excited to be with you. And thank you, Brother Doug. Invite, and just what a wonderful brother and friend, mentor he's been to me. I was thinking when he was talking about forgetting to tell the ushers, he might forget to tell the ushers, but he won't forget. I'd forget if you forgot an offering. I was talking to someone just this past week that knew Doug Carter. You know, there's something about that man. He hasn't talked very long till you're reaching for your checkbook, and at him in a power to build the kingdom in many, many different ways. Great to have my family with us here. They'll be with us a few days. You'll get to meet them. But let's get our Bibles tonight. And I'm going to ask you to turn to some of my favorite scripture, John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16. Don't get worried. I'm not going to preach all of that. But if you will note in these passages of Scripture, a lot of red letters, it's really an intimate conversation that Jesus is having with His disciples. It's Thursday night. It's prior to Friday on which Jesus is crucified. In fact, I think out of 80 chapters that make up the Gospels, 19 of the chapters deal with Thursday before Good Friday. Significant things are going on. Jesus is having a very intimate discussion with His disciples. It's kind of prompted, if you want to look, in John 13. John 13, verse 37, 38, Peter. All of us can relate to Simon Peter. Oh, we know he had some great his low moments as well in Scripture, don't we? Simon Peter, verse 37 of John 13, asked Jesus, "Can't I follow you now? I lay down my life." Jesus answered, "Will you really do that? Will you really lay down the truth before the rooster crows? You will disown me three times. You will deny me three times." Now here's the essence of the intimate conversation. And here's what I just feel led to speaking with this year. Go over to John 16. And just keep your Bibles open because we're going to turn kind of back and forth with these chapters. Here's the summary of what Jesus is going to say to Peter. And what I believe He's wanting to say to us tonight. John 16 and verse 1. "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." All this in this deep conversation that we're going to look at tonight. All I have told you. Why? So that you will not go astray. He's talking to His disciples. I know that people that come to camp meeting, we're talking about the cream of the crop. I know that. And Jesus is going to say to us tonight, I know you're probably not going to, you're not going to go out here and start a tonight. You're not going to run to Vegas and spend your mortgage money. You're not going to get a cane this week. You're not. All I'm saying is make sure. Make sure that you stay connected to me, and that you are red hot for me. Father, in the strong name of Jesus tonight, I pray that you would connect this word for such a time as this. And God, I pray that we will hear from heaven. I pray, Lord, that we will get the message that you have for us. And we'll give you all the praise for what you do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. What I'm going to talk about for a few moments tonight is spiritual cooling. Spiritual cooling. And I'm going to say something. It's not very politically correct, but I'd say Doug Carter would say amen. I'm more concerned about spiritual cooling than I am about global warming. Hello. I mean, where we need to focus here tonight, this week, are we really in tune to what God is speaking to us in these days? And are we connected to what He's all about so that we can truly be in this place on higher spiritual ground than we came in on? And we can be revived, we can be renewed, the flame can be burning higher and hotter than ever. What causes cooling? The first thing I would note tonight is troubled times. What causes spiritual cooling? The first thing I would note is troubled times. Keep your Bibles open. Look with me in a few verses, John 14 and verse 1. And see if you pick up on a common theme in some of these passages. John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Go to verse 27 of John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Go over to chapter 16 and verse 22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Here's a very realistic statement tonight, folks. If you've not had a crisis lately, honey, hold on, one's coming. That's not pessimism, that's the reality we live in. Isn't it amazing how one phone call can change your life? Isn't it amazing how one doctor visit changes the whole course? We've already heard in this service people that were at this camp meeting last year, healthy, seemingly whole, and tonight. Isn't it amazing how quickly our lives can be troubled times? Oh, anybody had a troubled economy in your world this past year? Bailouts, buyouts, stimulus. We're all waiting for that one, aren't we? Troubled times. Physical needs, financial needs, pressure, relational problems. All kinds of stress and pressure of this life. And what happens many times when the troubled times come, it shouldn't be this way. For some reason, we tend to cool off spiritually. And when things sometimes get the worst in our daily lives, we tend to lay out of church. And maybe we don't read our Bible. And we kind of just start down this slippery slope, spiritual cooling, spiritual drifting. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great temptation when we drift away? And I'll tell you folks tonight, the danger of drifting is that it never happens suddenly. The danger of drifting, oh, if it happens suddenly, but troubled times many times get us on a course that leads us away from all that we should be, all that we could be doing for God, and the fire burns down what's rocked your family. What's been that thing that maybe has led you away from the cross, and the fire is not burning quite as brightly tonight. Sudden changes. Significant turbulence in your life Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples, and in a very intimate moment, he says, I'm going away, and you're going to have some trouble. Our text tonight, verse 1 out of John 16 says, all I've told you, so that you will not go astray. Look at the next verse. They will put you out of the synagogue. If you haven't had your crisis lately, hold on, one's coming. You're going to face some difficult days, but even in spite of the troubled times, do not let the fire burn down. Do not let anything get between your soul and your Savior. We're living in, even in America, we're living in difficult times for the church. They will put you out of the synagogue. July 4th, I love this time. I love America. But do you realize, folks, close to the point in America where it is hard to be a patriot and still be a Christian? Hard to be a Christian and still be a patriot, however you want to say it. Because we're being told, if you're really a patriot and you're American, this hate crime bill, I'm telling you, folks, this is scary. It's already happened up in Canada. A preacher cannot even name, as reading Scripture, some of the sins that are so horrible that they make us shudder. If in this context it is spoken, it can be considered hate crime. Troubled times for the church. Troubled times for those that are trying to lift high the banner of Christianity. No, it's not always in your face. Many times, in fact, it's very subtle. It's the first night. I might get in trouble. Now, I have to think this one through. The thing I love about evangelism, it's hit and run, baby. I'm out of here after a week, but I'm going to be staying at Taylor County for a few years. Let me just say this, and take it in the right way. If you take it the wrong way, you didn't listen the right way, okay? I kind of feel sorry for a lot of our pastors. They get about 20, 25 minutes in the pulpit and then everybody's ready to go. Oprah gets 5 hours a week. Let that sink in. The new age mentality of this world, the philosophies that are being bombarded with under the guise of goodness and yet at the very core denies the blood, the cross of Jesus is getting ready to die. And there are churches that don't even want a cross. Because it speaks of a confrontational religion. And it speaks of something hard. I want to tell you what. Jesus is the one that still said, you've got to take up that cross. If you're going to be my true disciple, as we come to camp this commit on this first night, I'm not gonna leave this place unchanged, but I'm gonna pull up to the table. Jesus has the table this week. Come and dine. The Master calls. Don't the troubles of life, the troubles of our bodies, the troubles of our pocketbooks, the troubles of relationships, the trouble of the society at large we're living in. Let's pull up close to the table this week. These kids, wow, what an investment over here. And let me just say this to moms and dads and grandparents, because you all have influence. One thing we as a church got to learn, not quit sourcing the training of our young people. We cannot keep saying, even to the school or the church or the youth pastor, how many times do youth pastors get blamed? Jason, I'm in your corner, man. I'm behind you, brother. We need to start at home. As for me and my household, there are going to be troubled times. There are going to be falls along the way as the kids are growing up. But do not let any of this take you out of the fellowship with me. Jesus is saying, I'm getting ready to leave. And all this I'm telling you so that you will not go astray. Troubled times can cause spiritual cooling. Secondly, disconnecting from Jesus. Disconnecting from Jesus will always cause spiritual cooling. Now, turn to John 15. And this is what I law of multiple reference. I learned this when I was a boy growing up. My mom's here. She can tonight. I grew up with a mother that really believed cleanliness is next to godliness. And one of my jobs was to take out the trash. And that was one of my chores. I mean, everything was fine if I took out the trash. But sometimes I neglected that duty. And she'd have to remind me. Now, if she told me once, David, take out the trash, I would kind of think that was a suggestion. Hello. If she had to, David, I told you, take out the trash, that was, you know, a suggestion with possible consequences. But if she had to tell me a third time, David, I've told you again to take out the trash, that was the electric chair. I knew judgment was coming. The law of multiple reference, if you say it over and over and over, trying to get, see if you pick up on the common theme in John 15. And I'm going to read beginning, say, at verse 1. Very familiar, you know it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear my fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Isn't that amazing? And he's not even done. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. What causes spiritual cooling? Troubled times. We're all going to go through troubled times. If you haven't had your crisis, hold on, one's coming. But when it comes, and when we get into those turbulent, troubled times, please do not disconnect from Jesus. Because it's very obvious from the text, if we are disconnected from Jesus, there is no way that we will have the power of His Holy Spirit. There is no way victory over sin. There is no way that we'll be able to make good decisions when we are disconnected. When we're not plugged in. Tammy and I were getting ready for church one Sunday morning. And she had the hairdryer going. And all of a sudden the lights went out. And I'm not much around the house, but I know where the breaker box is. And I can flip a switch. And I looked and sure enough a breaker had tripped and I hit the switch. Came back on. Man, I was feeling good about it. I fixed it. I heard the blow dryer go back on there in the bathroom where Tammy was, and I walked back in the bedroom, and there was a light over in the corner, and it wasn't on a lamp, and I thought, well, I thought I fixed it. And I got over there and looked at that. I turned the knob a time or two and even took the bulb out and shook it and put it back in and looked down, and the thing wasn't even plugged in to start with. We're not going to have any power. We're not going to have any victory sin and Satan if we're not plugged in. If we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit, and when we are disconnected from Jesus, when we are disconnected from the vine, there's no way that we're going to be able to produce what God has in store for us to produce. Here's where the church needs to listen. Some of us have gone up on issues around the church. Good things, But we've got so hung up on some issues that we all get disconnected from Jesus. And we get so focused on an issue that really is not the main thing that we lose sight of the main thing. See, I know people that have been in the church for years meeting, and yet you find out they're more in love with a church than they are Jesus. And a certain tradition, and the name has to be this, and they're more in love with... We kind of hit on this one earlier. I know people that are more in love with a style of worship. Hello. Isn't it sad how many churches have split and splintered and divided over worship style and screens and books and hymn books? And now up in West Virginia where I come from, I can say this because I went in to preach a revival meeting. Tim, you know how it is when you go into a new place and somebody just grabs you and they start telling you everything that's going on. Well, I happen to know this church and I knew. So here, sure enough, he grabbed me first night. Oh, Brother Gallimore, it's bad around here. It's bad. We hadn't even had a service and he's telling me how bad it is. Oh, it's bad around here. He said they have us singing off the wall now. I knew the guy so I could say it. I said, you know what? It's good you're singing off the wall because you've been off the wall your whole life. It's not how we worship. It's about who we worship. But see, all I'm saying, we're always going to have preferences. You heard Doug Carter say, I love Southern Gospel. You know what? He'll run the aisles here in a little bit. We'll have camp. I love Southern Gospel. I was born and raised on Gospel. And yet, you know what? I was here at Taylor County. I told you about the church I pastored down in Orlando, Florida. I mean, it stretched me, folks. You talk about getting out of your comfort zone. And I mean, it was just all over the place. We had all these different Caribbean influences in worship. I mean, we were rocking and rolling. It was intense. And it took a while, but I'm kind of getting used to it. Mom and Dad said they're coming down to visit. And I thought, oh my. I was on the phone a month before they got there trying to break it to them gently. Now, Mom, now, Dad, this church is a little different. Tammy'd be in the background saying, that's an understatement. Of all Sundays, I don't know what's happening. Of all Sundays, Mom and Dad down there on the front row with me, and the worship leader got up and announced, I didn't even know what was happening. The worship leader said, put your hand. Teens are coming today to help us lead worship. Put your hand and welcome Tony T and the gospel rappers as they come to lead worship. I'm thinking to myself, we'll do this. Somehow we made it to prayer time. And I asked my mom to come up to pray. Mom's a prayer warrior and just been a saint. And I had her come up and she couldn't pray. She just got to crying. You look at that sea of faces, red, yellow, black, and white. And all she could say is, I think this. Heaven's going to look like. They gave her a standing ovation. Now, Dad, he never got this. I want to tell you what, there's a lot of different styles out there today. But I'm preaching to myself when I say this because I've went through this. And I've seen people go through it and I've seen people get bitter. And I've seen people drop out and get disconnected. All because we get the focus off the main thing. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. When we take Jesus out of the equation, oh, we can still show up and have church, we can still have camp, but when we take Jesus out of it's nothing more than a Rotary meeting. It's nothing more than a Kiwanis Club meeting. What causes spiritual cooling? Jesus is not saying, oh, I'm really worried about that Taylor County bunch. They're starting a meth lab out there. No, they're out to Vegas after camp's over and spend their money. And all Jesus is saying is, there's going to be troubled times. But in the midst of it, in spite of it, do not disconnect from me. I say this to you, all this I have said so that you will remain in me. Now here's the third thing tonight. What causes spiritual cooling? Troubled times, disconnecting from Jesus, and then what I'm going to call the to fly solo. You kind of just get out there and you say, well, I think I'll do it my way. I think I'll just kind of, you know, I don't have to go along with everybody else. I don't like how it's going there. And you just develop this mind. I think I'll just do it on my own. For some reason, I've seen it over the years. When someone goes through troubled times and they get disconnected, instead of plugging into the body of Christ, they withdraw. Some even have little parties that are called pity parties. Poor, poor, pitiful me. And as every day passes, it just gets worse, and gloom and doom and despair and agony follow. See, folks, I don't care how strong you are tonight, how gifted you are tonight, you still need somebody. None of us to make it on our own. And there's a strength in numbers. There's a strength in unity when we together in the body of the life of a church, in the body of a life of a camp meeting like this, come together. And it's not us, them. A lot of camp meetings, I'm in a lot of churches, I see a lot of us, them. One of the great things about a family camp is we cross the generations. And we come together on purpose. And we can learn from them, and they can learn from us. The propensity to fly solo. Any fans? Well, all right. We'll get some people woke up now. NASCAR fans, they're yeah, you can't beat Southern Gospel NASCAR, can you? All right. I get tickled. I love NASCAR. I love that. I mean, on TV, they'll show the invocation. They'll say in Jesus' name. And there'll be some old good old boy out there take his hat off and hold his beer in the other hand. And he's honoring God. NASCAR, there are two tracks, two races where the banking and the speed mandates that you have to race a little bit different. Daytona and the aerodynamics and the speed and the banking is such that in order to win those races, you really have to employ a technique they call drafting. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lift your hand. All right, I'll talk to you. There was what happens, you have to get somebody else to go with you. And you get right up behind their bumper and you get better gas mileage and the car can go faster. And in fact, if you get left out on your own, you're hung out to dry. Everybody will pass you. Race at Talladega a couple years ago, Jeff Gordon was trying to get to the front, and he couldn't. And there was a radio transmission that everybody heard on television. He said, I can't find a friend. Nobody will help me. Let me tell you something, folks. All of us are in a race. And that is going to take endurance. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And yet, if we're going to win, and run the race to win. If you're going to win, you're going to have to draw strength from one another. You're going to have to draw strength from a church family. No one can do it out there on their own. I have up there where Tammy and I live, up around Eatonton, Georgia, there's a lot of geese around our house. The Canadian geese. Anybody know what I'm talking about now? If you have Canadian geese around you, they make deposits. And it is messy around the yard. But I saw on Discovery Channel not long ago a story on these geese. And it was fascinating. You know they fly in formation. And the story said, studied it, and when the geese are flying in formation, they can fly, get this, 71% further than if one is out there by itself, trying to do it on its own. And they said, they fly in that formation, there's a leader, and watch this, when the leader gets tired, all he does, he just kind of shifts back, move up, and he gets in behind, joins in, and the ones in the back are the ones that do all the honking. Now, I thought maybe they're encouraging the one up front to keep going. I've tried that with Tammy out in the car. When somebody's going slow in front of me, I hit that horn. I said, I'm just encouraging them. You've heard this. Zig Ziglar's told the story many times through the years. One horse, it's been proved, can pull 1,000 pounds. One horse. And then they bring in another horse. It's been proved this horse can pull on its own 1,000 pounds. So now you hook them together. You put them together. What are they going to pull? Everybody says 3,000. No, 8,000. See, that's the power of synergy. That's 1 + 1 = 3. And you say, oh, that's just pop psychology, feel good, popular thinking. No, the Bible says one can put to flight 1,000. Two can put to flight 10,000. There's a strength when we come together. All this I've said to you so that you will not go astray. Peter made a comment and he was saying, I'll be with you, Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't even realize what you're going to face. And you're going to deny me. You may be here tonight, and you may be overconfident. You're like Peter. Oh, not me. Look around the crowd and say, well, there might be some others in here. But not me. Jesus said, You don't get it. Peter crows 3 times in the morning, you'll have denied me. So all this I'm telling you, just in an intimate conversation, so that you will not go astray. Don't be disconnected. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't let the fire go out. I close with this. There are 2 fire extinguishers. One is exhaustion. If a fire doesn't have oxygen feeding it, it will not burn. There has to be something going in order for us to put something out. I tried to give this as a visual illustration not too long ago, and I really wasn't able to do it. Let me see if you can do it. Everybody, inhale right now as hard as you can, as big as you can. And now exhale. Now try to exhale again without inhaling. You can't do it. I mean, you choke and you sputter, and in order to put something back out, you've got to take something back in. Exhaustion, for many of those that have been in the church, means you're just wore out. Drained. One of the things I love about camp meeting is it's kind of like the oasis in the desert we've used over the years. We come back to the old landmark one more time and we get that energy. We get that pickup. Thank God for that. There's a fire extinguisher of exhaustion, and then there's a fire extinguisher of neglect. Or you've probably heard it several years ago out in Pasadena, California, the Rose Bowl Parade. One of the floats that won the big award that year ran out of gas. Right there in front of millions of viewers around the world, it had won the award, And yet they had to stop the parade until they had a problem. The float had ran out of gas. And to make things worse, the float was the Standard Oil Company. How do we escape if we neglect? Not running off and doing terrible things tonight, just getting drifting away.